Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to 4Q FY23 conference call of Quantum Papers Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Anuj Sonpal from Valorem Advisors. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody. My name is Anuj Sonpal from Valorem Advisors. We represent the investor relations of Quantum Papers Limited. On behalf of the company, I would like to thank you all for participating in the company's earnings call for the fourth quarter and financial year ended 2023. Before we begin, let me mention a short cautionary statement. Some of the statements made in today's earnings call may be forward-looking in nature. Such forward-looking statements are subject to risks and uncertainties which could cause actual results to differ from those anticipated. Such statements are based on management's beliefs as well as assumptions made by and information currently available to management. Audiences are cautioned not to place any undue reliance on these forward-looking statements in making any investment decisions. The purpose of today's earnings call is purely to educate and bring awareness about the company's fundamental business and financial quarter under review. Now, let me introduce you to the management participating with us in today's earnings call and hand it over to them for opening remarks. We have with us, firstly, Mr. Roshan Garg, Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Sushil Khaitan, Chief Executive Officer of Operations, and Ms. Prachi Sharma, Associate Vice President of Corporate Strategy. Without any further delay, I request Mr. Sushil Khaitan to start with his opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Anuj, for the introduction, and good morning to everyone joining us today, and a very warm welcome to our quarterly earnings conference call to discuss the results and business updates for the fourth quarter and financial year 2023. Let me now briefly take you all through the quarterly business highlights, following which Mr. Roshan Garg, our CFO, will take you through the financials. In the last financial year, the Indian paper industry witnessed strong growth driven by increasing demand for all types of paper products across consumption centers like education, FMCG, packaging, pharma, and e-commerce. This momentum is expected to continue in the coming year as well. We expect a boost in demand for the writing business segment this year on account of impending changes in the new education policy and curriculum, along with the introduction of textbooks in 22 languages in alliance with NCERT and Ministry of Education. Paper has also found its use in many applications as a replacement to single-use plastic, and this has further added to demand. I'm happy to announce that we closed the financial year 2023 on a strong note with highest-ever annual revenue of 1,310 crores, with EBITDA of 28.96% or, say, 29%. We also reported our highest-ever EBITDA margins at 33.2% for the fourth quarter on the back of cost optimization in operations, especially in cogen power plant and chemical recovery boilers. During the quarter, we successfully launched straw bale paper 60, 90, and 120 GSM as a sustainable replacement to single-use plastic straw. Additionally, in order to replace coal with biomass and reduce our carbon footprint, we have initiated techno-commercial discussions for rice straw boiler as well. The upgradation of PM1 and PM2 is on track and is expected to be completed by end of September 2023, leading to an increase of production by about 15,000 tons per annum. Lastly, I am happy to inform you that the company further prepaid 102 crores rupees of its term loan in March 2023, taking the total prepayment in FY23 to 243 crores rupees on the back of healthy cash flow. Now, I will request Mr. Roshan Garg, our CFO, to give you a brief about the quarterly financials. Thank you.
Thank you, Sushil ji, and good afternoon, everyone. I would like to brief you on the financial performance of the fourth quarter and also the full financial year ended March 23. Our fourth quarter revenue stood at 344 crores, representing a growth of about 36% year-on-year basis. The EBITDA for the quarter was rupees 114 crores, which grew by 245% year-on-year. The EBITDA margin is reported at 33.2%, which is our highest ever quarterly EBITDA margin. Net profit for the year stood at 65 crores, representing a significant growth year-on-year and quarter-on-quarter, with PAT margins reported at 18.9%. For the full year ended financial year 23, we reported highest ever yearly revenue of 1,310 crores, representing a growth of around 58% year-on-year, while EBITDA stood at 379 crores, which grew by 219% year-on-year with EBITDA margin of about 29% for the full year. The net profit for the year stood at rupees 200 crores before exceptional items, which were on account of tax adjustments relating to the previous years. Post these adjustments, the net profit is about rupees 136 crores, with a growth of over 900% from the previous year, with PAT margin reported at 10.4%. As Sushil ji mentioned, the robust cash flows allowed the company to further prepay loan of rupees 102 crores for the restructured term loan in March 23, taking the total prepayment in FY23 to rupees 243 crores. I am also happy to announce that the board has recommended a dividend of 300%, that is rupees 3 rupees per share, on the face value of rupee 1 per share for the financial year ended 2023. We would now be happy to discuss any questions, comments or suggestions you may have. Please.
Thank you very much. We'll now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participants, you may press star and one to ask the question. The first question is from the line of Raj from Ajav Partners. Please go ahead.
Audible?
Yes, you are.
Yeah. So in FY24, do you think will you be able to replicate this kind of EBITDA?
Mr. Raj, we have achieved 33% EBITDA in fourth quarter.
Understood.
And this EBITDA is on the back of strong performance of the company, plus back-end integration done by the company in the year 2021 in the form of around 450 crore investment, basically in the pulp mill and in the power boiler and little bit upgraded in the paper machines. So this is in line with the industry standards. And this is going to sustain. We have no doubt about the achieving these results in the coming years together. Thank you.
All right. And how much is the current ROCE of the company, if you can just give me an estimate of it?
ROCE is around
22% is the current ROCE. All right. And about how much is the utilization of the plant currently?
100%, sir.
100%. Achha, so if you want to expand the sales from here, you need an investment, right?
That is correct. In fact, we have announced an investment of 285 crores. And
how much?
In that, we would be taking up the capacity of our machine. As was mentioned earlier, some of that will be commissioned in the coming financial year. And we expect from our smaller machines, PM1 and 2, the capacity to increase by 15,000 tons per annum just on account of those. Further, we are exploring our larger machines, PM3 and 4, where we are going to debottleneck and add on capacities to the operation.
Achha, so how much of incremental sale we can expect from this?
We are looking to add about 22 to 25% additional capacity on our current base. So that means that we will be looking at about 184,500 in the coming 1.5 to 2 years.
How much? Sorry?
184,500 tons in the coming 1.5 to 2 years.
All right, 1.5 to 2 years. All right, ma'am. Thanks. All the best. See you in the call later.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask the question. The next question is from the line of Vishal Prasad from VP Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. Sir, we have cogen power plant, but we are not getting any benefits under Section 80IA of income tax. A company based out of Punjab, they are claiming huge benefits out of 80IA. So could you please let me know why we are not getting that benefit?
We have got this benefit. The benefit is available for a period of 10 years in a block of 15 years. So we set up this plant in 2010. So we have availed this benefit from 2012 to 2022.
Okay. So if we put up additional capacity of cogen, then we will get the benefits, or that
right now this benefit is not available for the new capacities.
Okay, got it. Second question, I joined a bit late, and while I joined, I heard that we were mentioning something on rice straw for boiler. So are we putting up a new boiler?
Yes, we are putting up a new boiler for rice straw. Rice straw is available in Punjab in a huge quantity, and the cost of rice straw is just half of the coal, or maybe 25-30% of the coal and the rice prices. So it is a very, very good proposal for the cost saving.
Right. So I live in Chandigarh, and I see the rice straw availability. So when we decided to put up the boiler earlier, this case was always there. So why didn't we put the rice straw boiler, then we chose the other one?
Actually, coal was available in abundant quantity till 2021. However, in last 1 year, we saw the coal prices going high, but technology of the rice straw boiler is not that proven, and we were having some issues in that. So we consulted the technical experts, and now we are in the stage of deciding for the rice straw boiler and talking to the supplier for a most suitable technology and the continuous running of operations without any failure that we have to achieve.
Okay, sir. And last question, sir. If we look at the raw material price, which is imported from outside India, it's coming down very, very, and there's a lot of price correction happening there. So, and there was a call with JK Papers last quarter, and they mentioned that if the raw material price goes down, international as well as the local raw material, then they will not shy away from reducing the final product price. But then I see that we always mention that we will be able to maintain the margins next year. So, given the raw material changes in price and raw material, do we see we will be able to maintain 30-33%, or correction is possible after the peak season of June?
First of all, let me tell you, JK paper production, the paper product, and the quantum is totally different. JK paper is also having a lot of board category product, packaging board and all that, and they are totally depending on the wood. But whereas in Punjab, we are having 50% wheat straw pulp and 50% wood pulp, and we don't have much of the imported stuff in the raw material, also, and in the fuel also. So we are not very much affecting with the downside prices of the raw material. Now, so far as the operations is concerned, you know, different industry will have a different operations, like craft, board, but writing and printing, it is not impacted. Demand is there. India is a growth story. Education sector is growing. national education policy is also, you know, increasing the demand in the coming quarters, maybe after September or October. So we will see a good demand. Even though after ensuring all these things, even something will come down in the NSR. Correspondingly, the input cost will also go down. You must have noticed that coal prices have come down almost from 15,000 rupees per ton to almost 8,000 rupees per ton right now. And I am hopeful that it will come to 6,000 rupees in next quarter or maybe two quarters. So, with a small 2% plus minus, by and large, we will be able to maintain our EBITDA margin. And we, apart from that, we are also having dozens of cost-saving initiatives working out in the plant, and we will achieve a lot of efficiency improvement, and we are sure that we will achieve our projected EBITDA margin.
You mentioned NEP, sir. So NEP I have been hearing for long. I mean, probably for last 18 months, a lot of companies are talking about the opportunities that will come out of NEP. So, but nothing has happened on the ground till now. So do we see that happening before the election, or it could get postponed?
Hi, Vishal. So as regards the NEP, yes, there have been talks of the NEP for the last 2.5 to 3 years. I think there was a slowdown in the execution of the policy also due to COVID, because education was primarily shut during that time. But if you see in the last few months, especially in the month of March, there have been several declarations by the government clearly stating that now NCERT, which is the main authority which is linked with the production of books or the publication of books for the students on ground, they have taken a call that the textbooks will be printed in 22 languages, and this is in alliance with the Ministry of Education. So I think there is definitely a lot of positives and movement towards now finally executing this policy on ground. And we are hopeful that the new curriculum will be announced by September and October, which is also the peak season for publication. That is when all this positivity will move into the market and further give us an upswing in terms of demand.
Okay, and then one request that I have. Can we try to have the physical AGM this time?
Sure, that is duly noted, and we will bring it, you know, we will discuss amongst ourselves and take a call on that. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask the question. The next question is from the line of Manish Dariwal from Felicia Capital. Please go ahead.
Am I audible?
Yeah.
Thank you for this opportunity. So basically, I would like you to delve a little deeper on the writing and printing side of the industry and give us a you know, a more in-depth outlook as to how the
audible, Manish, your voice is cracking.
Okay, just a second.
The person you are speaking with has put your call on hold.
The line for the participant dropped. We move on to the next participant. The next question is from the line of Dipen Shah, individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning and thank you for the opportunity. In continuation of an earlier question, I just wanted to understand slightly in detail the macro scene. Like the global food pulp prices have been, wood pulp prices have been coming down. And while we are actually not directly impacted because of that, we understand that the imports, which are also coming into India, are coming at a lower price because the raw material prices are falling down. So would you have some data or some further insights into how the imports have panned out in the last 1 to 2 months, and what's the fall in prices of the imports, and how's the competitive scenario increased for us? Thank you so much.
Let me put it in 2-3 lines. First of all, you are talking about the pulp prices. Then I would say the pulp prices have come down drastically in last 2 months. At present, hardwood prices are hovering around $525 per ton, CIF port in India, and softwood is around $750.
Mm-hmm.
However, if you talk about the pepper import in the country, the pepper demand in India is around 20 million tons, put together all categories, out of which import is only 17.5 million tons, 17.5 lakh tons, which is mainly newsprint, kraft, and some sort of a coated paper. There is no much import in the writing and printing segment, particularly high-end, where we talk about the copier and maplito. So, going by the past experience and the present situation which is being prevailing, we don't see much impact in the fall in NSR. But still, as I told you, if there is any fall in the NSR, that will also support us in the fall in the raw material prices, fuel prices, chemical prices, and we will be able to compensate. The margins which we are achieving today, 33% odd, is a normal margin for the integrated pulp and paper industry if you see the last 10 years history, worrying about few, you know, quarters or years where things will not happen. For a efficient mill, not for the inefficient mill, who has got full backward integration. By going that, we are still say we will be able to achieve our EBITDA margins of 33%. Even there is a pitfall or downside of 1 or 2% or 3%, that we will be able to manage with our efficiency improvement, cost reduction, and the overall optimization of the production figure. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks for that. And just a related question, in terms of the demand supply, the writing and printing paper, would you have some data on what's the current demand and the total supply currently in terms of capacity in India?
I'll tell you, the total demand of writing and printing is around 49 lakh tons, 4.9 million.
Okay.
Our company is basically in the high-end segment, which is maplito grade writing and printing paper and the copier.
Sure.
There is a good growth in these two products.
Mm-hmm.
The product like you say, Cremo, low bright maplito, their demand is not increasing. But the high bright maplito and copier demand is increasing.
Sure.
So if I talk about the maplito high bright, the demand is around 15 lakhs per annum. Copier is around 9 lakhs per annum. The total demand is 24 lakh per annum. And our ratio of entire writing and printing segment is just 3 to 4% only. So we are quite secured of our demand and we will be able to sell it.
And I'll add to that, we don't see any addition in capacities in writing and printing paper as well. So with the demand going up and the supply staying as it is, with just a few de-bottlenecking, we don't have any greenfield announcements. So you will see that, you know, there is a gap of demand and supply which will help maintain or increase margins in the years to come.
Okay. Okay, thanks so much. Just one thing, what will be the total capacity for writing printing in India right now?
Total capacity is, you know, the entire demand of writing and printing is met with the domestic production. So, what I told, around 49 lakh tons, is more or less, we met the demand from the local producer only.
Okay, okay. Thank you so much and all the very best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Aditya Sen from Robo Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning and thank you for the opportunity. Also, congratulations on good set of numbers. I was just going through the PPT and saw that the volumes have remained constant over the year, but revenue has increased. So I believe this is because of the realization. I'd just like to understand, is it because of the good product mix or is it going to correct a bit in this year and FY25? And if it will correct, then about by how much percent shall it correct?
Mr. Aditya, basically, our plant is running at optimum capacity, say 100% plus. So, volume will remain more or less same. But, revenue number is increasing because of the NSR increase. In that next year, we are completing expansion of our PM1 and PM2. Thereby, we are adding almost 10,000 tons of additional production from these two machines. Plus, we will have some minor improvement in existing PM3 and PM4. So, overall, we are expecting the production to increase from 1,52,000 to around 160-165 or so. And this will give us a additional revenue growth from 1,310 crore to almost 1,500 crores, 1,500 crores.
Okay, sir. Okay. Thank you for that. Understood.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Rahil Shah, individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, Rahil, you're audible. Go ahead.
Yeah. Hi. Good morning to the management. So you already spoke about the margins. You're quite confident of sustaining and achieving 33% range. And if I have to assume the same for the whole year as well, which is quite promising. So I'll just take this opportunity to ask, are you then able to provide any revenue guidance for FY24?
You see, our turnover is going to be around 1,700 crores. And going by EBITDA of 33%, we expect EBITDA amount is around 480 to 500 crores. I think it is okay, or do you want something more?
But did you say 1,500 crores? So that would be FY24, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. No problem. Thank you, and all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Hemant from Yes Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Thank you for taking my question. I just wanted to understand if this is the first stage of debottlenecking in this current existing plant. Do we plan to do a further debottlenecking or a brownfield project in the same vicinity or the same premises, or are we looking for a different premises for expanding our reach? Maybe a different geography or maybe a different state, just to make sure that we cater to other markets as well.
Hi, Hemant. Thank you for your question. So we are, as you are aware, we have about 259 acres of contiguous land. Currently,
right,
that our four machines have it in them to be debottlenecked and release about 80 to 90 tons of additional capacity per day in the years to come, which we intend to add in 1.5 to 2 years. Given that we have our expertise and we also have a locational advantage in terms of raw material availability, Sushilji spoke, we further intend to add a rice straw boiler, which is also abundantly available in Punjab itself. So we do not intend to, we are not looking at new geographies right now. We are definitely looking to add another machine. We are in talks to look at a tissue machine that will help us de-risk the business also, that we take a certain percentage into a new segment, which is the hygiene segment. But no, we are not looking at new geography expansion right now.
So, ma'am, my second question will be, once we have a 260-acre parcel land,
right,
how much more capacity can we add in the same location in terms of raw material availability as plus as the current geographic mix? How much more can we expand over the years, not right now, but over the years, what could be the capacity that can be targeted in the same vicinity?
Mr. Hemant, we can add quite good capacities here. 259 acres is a huge land. So,
yes, sir,
we can add, all is depending on the demand, you know, capex budget, growth. So, there is no limitation of the land for capacity enhancement. I can say only that.
We can easily add two or three machines in the same layout itself. And if we were to, you know, open up other parcels within the contiguous land, we can easily set up an entire unit, so to say. So capacity addition would not be a problem. I think ending even up to 1,000 tons at the back of my hand would not be an issue at all. So that we are covered, and we already have the cogen plant also, to add on at least a 500 to 600 ton machine at any given time. Capacity and land would not, not be a risk at all to us.
So, ma'am, my last question will be, in past few concalls, you did pressurized on targeting export market as well. Geographical-wise, export market from probably somewhere in the coastal areas like Gujarat or probably Maharashtra or eastern side of the geographies would be quite beneficial in terms of logistic cost savings and all. Wouldn't it be a prudent strategy to look out for an inorganic growth opportunities over here?
So, Hemant, what you're saying is absolutely correct. Ports give you the additional advantage of lower freight, but we are also aware that the prices of export are actually lower than what we get in the domestic market by about 7 to 8 rupees. That is the gap that we see. So, for us, it has always been the focal point of our sales. But yes, your point is well taken, and if the management were to think about expansion, a port side expansion would definitely be more beneficial than a inland kind of a expansion.
Okay. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Govind Lal Gilda, individual investor. Please go ahead.
Good morning, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. So regarding this coal prices, you told that almost from 15 to 8 they have come down. So I want to know this benefit of 15 to 8,000 drop already captured in fourth quarter or still it will come in?
Your voice is not very clear. There is a lot of disturbance.
Can you repeat the question?
Are you able to hear me now?
Yes.
So you told that the coal prices have come down 15,000 to 8,000. Hello? Are you able to hear me?
Yeah.
Yes.
So, I want to understand, sir, this fall of almost 7,000 already captured in fourth quarter result, or further benefit we can expect going forward?
No, I told that coal prices peak was 15,000 tons last year, peak, not the average, which has come down to 8,000 in April, current year. So, if we talk about the average prices of last year to quantum, it was around 10,000 rupees per ton of coal, average price, which will be around 7,500 or so in the current financial year.
Can you tell me, sir, what was the average price for coal in third quarter and fourth quarter, average price?
Average price in third quarter, it was around, it was around, say, 12,000 rupees in third quarter. In fourth quarter, it has come down to almost 9,500. And in the Q1, it is further coming down.
Third quarter, how much you told, sir? 12,000?
Third quarter, it was 11,000 to 12,000. 11 to 12,000 rupees.
Okay, 11 to 12, 12 ka iso, 9,000 aa gaya, fourth quarter.
9,000 in the Q4, and it is further coming down to 8,000 in the Q1 of the current FI.
So, a new education policy ka naya demand kitna aayega, bata sakte hai sab,
demand, we cannot say like that, but you know, we are expecting a 5% growth in the current demand of 20 million ton in the country put together all grades of paper, in which major growth will be in the Maplito and Copier grade.
मैं ऐसा समझना चाहता हूँ, writing printing में हर साल 3-4% का growth आता है, writing printing में NEP के वजह से extra demand कितना आएगा ये साल, जैसे आप बोलते हैं कि भाई 50 लाख टन का राइटिंग प्रिंटिंग है, 3-4% से 1-1.5 लाख टन हर साल डिमांड आता है, तो एनईपी से एक्स्ट्रा डिमांड और कितना आएगा?
सर, यू नो एनईपी विल हैव ए एक्स्ट्रा डिमांड ऑफ 2-3%, बिकॉज इन एनी केस नोटबुक्स एंड टेक्स्ट बुक्स आर बीइंग प्रिंटेड एवरी ईयर इन द कंट्री, इट इज नॉट लाइक दैट कि इट इज नॉट प्रिंटेड, सो इट विल हैव एडिशनल प्रोडक्शन एंड इट विल डिस्ट्रीब्यूट ओवर ए period of time. You cannot print so many textbooks in 1 year. There is a limitation of printing machine also. So demand will grow slowly, slowly. And there will be a continuous demand for next 2-3 years in this segment because of the NEP.
Thank you and sorry to interrupt you, Mr. Govindan. I will request you to join the queue for a follow-up question. The next question is from the line of Raj from RHF Partners. Please go ahead.
Everything is answered. Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Tushar Bansal, individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for taking my question. So the question basically says that considering that we are expecting EBITDA margin in the same range for the next financial year, so what kind of borrowing repayment are we expecting this financial year and also the CapEx plan for the current fiscal year?
So the CapEx plan for the current year is about 150 crores. And this will become operational next year. So far as the debt is concerned, we are already down to 350 crore after the prepayments of 243 crores during the year. We are already down to 340 crore restructured debt, and we further plan to pay between 150 to 175 crores during the current financial year 23-24. So we will be at the end of 24, we should be close to 200 crore. That outstanding.
Great. And also in terms of pricing for the current quarter, what's the trend we are seeing considering that we are in the early of the May? What's the pricing trend we are seeing as compared to Q4?
Pricing is going at the same level. There is no hold in the prices. Around 89 to 90,000 rupees per ton. Excluding GST.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask the question. The next follow-up question is from the line of Manish Dariwal from Fiducia Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for this opportunity. In fact, my line got disconnected. I hope I'm audible now.
Yes, you are.
Thank you. Yeah, so basically, the question is addressed to the CFO, who basically was explaining about the CapEx and the, you know, the debt scenario. So at one point, this new CapEx that's happening, which is considering the new rice stock boiler, then PM1, PM2 improvement is 285 crores. So, and then I think you mentioned the next year the plan is about 150 odd crores. So if you could just explain this in a little more detail. And the debt today is after 243 crore repayments of 340 odd, 50 odd crores. How much will that be? And plus the new debt that you will be taking in, if at all, for this new expansion. So if you could just explain the debt and the CapEx scenario in more detail.
The total CapEx planned was 285 crores. Out of this, 150 crores will be incurred during the current financial year 23-24. And then balance will happen in 24-25.
Okay. Fair enough. And so this 150 crore CapEx will get you what? Meaning this will be towards the PM1, PM2 or it will go towards the rice straw boiler?
Sir, this 25 crore includes PM1 and PM2 turbine replacement, PM3, PM4 replacement. This rice straw boiler is a new addition. We are in discussion stage, which is not a part of 285 crore. That will be additional.
Okay. I understand now. So this 150 crores, I think the existing, the current cash flows should be adequate to finance this CapEx.
Yeah, this will be done through the cash flows accrued during the current year.
Okay, and so 150 crores go towards this CapEx, and how much will go towards the debt repayment? I think you mentioned some figure.
50, so around 150 to 175 crore. Will go towards the debt repayment during the current year.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask the question. The next question is from the line of Imran from Longbow India Capital Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity. I hope I am audible to all. Sir, my question is on your power and fuel cost. If you can first of all just help us understand your fuel mix, what percentage of fuel coming from coal, and what is the percentage that you're getting from rice husk and rice straw, etc.
Actually, we are using 50% coal and 50% biomass fuel, which includes rice husk and some of the vegetables is generating in the meal from the wood dust and all that. And out of 50% coal, 25% coal we are getting out of our linkage quota at a very reasonable cost.
Hmm.
And 25% we are procuring mostly from the e-auction and market coal. So our cost of fuel is a very good combination. Our boilers are designed to use 50% biomass, and we are quite efficient in generating the steam because our boilers are modern boiler installed in 2021 and getting a good efficiency of around 88%. I think I'm clear.
Hello, Imran.
Is it okay?
So the line for the participant dropped.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask the question. The next follow-up question is from the line of Govindal Gilda, individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yeah. Yes, hello.
Yeah, yeah. Thanks for the follow-up question. See, you have told about coal. I want to understand what is the trend, sir? Wood chip prices and chemicals, what we use, what is the trend?
You are asking the chemical prices?
Yeah, chemical and wood chips also we use, no? Wood.
Yeah.
Wood chips are in the range of about 7,000 to 8,000. And on chemical prices, our most widely used chemical is caustic, which is currently trending at about 34,250.
And with wood, what were the two, three quarters? Can you give me what was third and fourth quarter?
Caustic prices were prevailing around 70,000 rupees in the June quarter and coming down in every month to month, and now it has reached to 34,000 rupees.
And wood prices I was asking, sir.
Wood prices, sir, at present we are purchasing the average wood price of around 6,800 per ton, which was around at this level for last 3 to 4 months. Prior to that, it was 6,400. Before that, it was 6,000 like that. So every quarter, the prices are increasing around 500 rupees per ton. And if you go back to the FY21-22, the prices were around 5,500.
21-22, it was 5,000.
Yeah.
And June, it was 6,000. September, 6,400. And around 6,000. Currently, 6,800.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you very much. I'm done. Thanks.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Satyan Wadhwa from Profusion Investment Advisors. Please go ahead.
Sorry, I joined the call a bit late. Can you just shed some light on what is the expected production tonnage for FY24 and where do you think you might be in FY25?
In FY24, our production will be to the tune around 1,60,000 tons TPA, tons per annum. Okay. And for FY25, it will increase to around 1,85,000 tons per annum.
1.85 lakhs. Okay, great. And typically, what sort of per ton margin should one think of going forward?
You know, our EBITDA margin is around 32-33% in the current quarter, and if you go by that, then our EBITDA per ton will be around 32,000 about per ton.
And this is based on current selling price. Do you estimate any changes in pricing of paper? I know it's a commodity, but are you foreseeing anything in terms of...
Also may go down also, but by and large, we expect it to be the same region, plus minus 2-3%. And if there is any abnormal increase or decrease, which will correspondingly will be adjusted or reduced or compensated by the input prices.
Right. Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Raj from Raj of Partners. Please go ahead.
In this call, you had told about how different are you from JK. So can you explain it to us again?
Sir, JK, you know, they are having a high volume of board also.
Acha.
Ungat plant. And board has got different requirement of raw material. They have to import lot of BCTMP pulp. So it is not comparable with purely writing and printing. And secondly, in the writing and printing also, JK is having their own farm forestry at Raigada. Their wood cost is quite cheaper. Their EBITDA margin is very, very high. If you disintegrate the EBITDA margin of the writing and printing and board, then you will be able to understand. It is a bit, you know, internal thing which you have to get the...
Hello?
Yeah. So, JK, I cannot say more than that.
Understood. And, sir, regarding your fuel mix, which you say 50% is from biomass, and what is the other 50%? I actually skipped a point on that.
50% biomass means, say, water or fuel requirement. 50% we are emitting from coal, and 50% we are emitting from rice husk and other biofuel, like wood dust and all that.
Understood, yeah. All right, yeah. Thank you so much. All the best.
Thank you. Next follow-up question is from the line of Imran from Longbow India Capital. Please go ahead.
I'm so sorry, my line got disconnected. Sir, continuing my question, and you know, you were talking about your mix of fuel. You were specifically telling me about, you know, the coal, which is 50% of the requirement, out of which I think 50% is through linkages and rest is, you know, you are sourcing openly. Can you throw some more highlight, you know, maybe on the open source procurement, what kind of price reduction you have seen in the last quarter compared to Q3?
Actually, open prices and the e-auction prices are more or less same. We are basically buying through e-auction. We are not going in the open market from the traders and all that. Maximum 90% buying is through the e-auction from Coal India directly. So the prices right. In last 2 to 3 months is moving around 9,000 rupees per ton, which yesterday it came down to rupees 8,000 per ton.
And last quarter this number was 12,000, you said, is it?
Last quarter this number was 11,000 to 12,000 rupees per ton.
11,000 to 12,000. Right. And sir, on the other side, the rice husk and, you know, the other rice straw, what kind of price reduction have you seen in the last quarter?
Sir, actually, our fuel is rice husk, not rice straw.
Okay.
Rice husk prices have not come down this year. It is being maintained at around 8,000 rupees per ton, leaving around 1 month. In the month of October, when the prices have reduced by around 1,000 rupees per ton. So this year, rice husk prices are being maintained at a higher level.
Right. And I mean, is there any particular reason behind it? Because I had a sense that whenever coal prices, you know, come down or go up, I think the other fuel, you know, sources also behave in the same way. So is this not happening this time?
Actually, coal prices were abnormally high. Till today, still coal prices are higher than the rice prices. So, unless we see the coal prices correcting below 8,000 rupees, I don't see rice prices will go, because there are different type of consumers in the in this North India who is totally depending on the rice. They don't have a facility to consume coal in their boilers. So
right.
There are different consumers in the country, and both are driven by the separate, you know, need.
Right. All right. Thank you so much, sir. This is from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. Next follow-up question is from the line of Manish Sarivan from Fiducia Capital. Please go ahead. Manish, may I request to unmute your line from your side and go ahead with the question, please?
Yes, thanks. Hello. Yeah, thanks. So basically, you mentioned sometime in the call that there is no greenfield capacity coming up in the industry. Did I get that right?
Yes, Manish, there have been no announcements or impending announcements for the writing and printing segment from a greenfield project perspective. If at all capacities are coming up, they are coming up in a similar fashion as ours, where various mills are de-bottlenecking their operations.
In fact, that's exactly the point that I was trying to come to. Also, could we kind of understand as to what kind of capacity with this brownfield or de-bottlenecking, etc., coming up, which can give us an understanding about the demand-supply scenario?
It will be very difficult to estimate the all over India capacity addition from the de-bottlenecking. But you know, every mill is doing little bit 2%, 3%, 4% growth every year.
So, sir, your guess would be better than mine. So, if you could make an educated guess.
And some mills are closing down also. So, overall, you know, things will remain more or less at the same level if we go with all India production is concerned. Whereas, demand is increasing by 5%. So, over a period of time, the gap between the demand and supply is going to increase, and India will maintain its stable demand of the existing capacity.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask the question. The next question is from the line of Rasmik Oza from the Nine Ways Equisearch. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, thanks for the opportunity. So my question was on the integrity of CapEx. I just want to understand this brownfield expansion, how much time does it take for you to increase capacity by debottlenecking?
You know, it all depends on the type of debottlenecking you are doing. If you are doing a major debottlenecking, then it is required around 15 to 18 months. And if you are going for a normal CapEx, then it is around 8 to 9 months.
Okay, because this question was coming because your capital WIP, work in progress, as of March end is 30 crores only, and we are talking of 150 crore capex this year. So, you know, bulk of the money actually will be spent in the next few quarters. So, this 1,52,000 to 1,60,000 jump in volumes in FY24, how does it come? Is that your debottlenecking will happen in the first half or second half, how does it go?
Actually, we are doing 2-3 major capex this year. One, we are doing PM1 and PM2. So the order has been placed by somewhere around in November, and they will complete in the month of July and August. So what we have paid is the advance only. So entire capex will be done in the current financial year. Point number two, we have placed the order for turbine in December. Again, we have paid the advance, and it will come in the month of November, and we will install in one go. And we pay the full, you know, amount. Then we are doing a lot of investment in the environment and the improvement in the environment side. So most of the orders are being placed now in the month of April, and they will be executed before March. Okay. And some advances of 150 crore will have from the next year's capex also. So we are saying 150 crore is the cash outflow on account of capex in the current financial year, and remaining 130 crore will be incurred in the next financial year.
Okay. So second question is on the new rice straw boiler which we are planning to install. What will be the tax on this, to, and what could be the output and what could be the EBITDA per ton or EBITDA margin you are looking in from this?
This is around 100 TPS boiler.
Okay.
Price stove prices are just half of the reasonable coal and rations prices. The prices of the rice stove is around 3,000 rupees about. And whereas coal we take reasonable prices of the current financial year, it should be around 7,000 rupees to 8,000 rupees per ton. Average of the rice husk and coal, you know. So the gain in the fuel cost is around 50%. So we are consuming around 150 crore fuel per annum for the 100 TPS steam. So there will be a saving of around conservatively 60 crore or so per annum.
Okay. And what could be the capex on this entire?
Around 80 crore, around 80 to 90 crores.
Okay. And this will happen in FY25 or it will start this year itself?
If you place the order, say, within next 2 months' time, then it will take around 18 months minimum because delivery time is a bit longer in the case of rice straw boiler.
Okay. So last question. You all mentioned something on the tissue machine also. Some color on what kind of initiative you are looking in this business and what kind of amount of revenue potential that can come in from this?
The tissue machine is a new product line for us. We are talking for about 70 to 80 TPD machine, which will have an investment of around 80 to 90 crore. Still, we are in talking stage with the international suppliers, and we are expecting revenue of around 300 crores for this business line.
Okay. And when will this get commissioned, or when can we envisage this to play out?
It will be in 25-26.
Okay. Thanks. That's it from my side, sir. Best of luck.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sanjeev Pandya from Lancers Impex Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Can I be heard, sir? Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Can you look at this sector? I'm new to the sector, and don't know too much about how the sector is distributed. Can you look at the sector from an ESG perspective and try to place yourself in one of the brackets? One thing I've clearly understood is that, let's say, fuel usage is coming from an eco-friendly or let's say a more sustainable source, and coal to the extent possible will get replaced by rice straw. So it begs the question, where will you source enough rice straw, and is that going to be a constraint to your competitiveness? Question one. Two, how much of this we've heard of stubble burning from in Punjab, etc. How much of this agri residue is taken from that kind of a problem? So I know it's kind of a big question, but from an ESG perspective relative to, say, wood pulp, where do you stand, how are you superior, and how sustainable is your competitive advantage?
Hi, thank you for your question. So I think the first thing is on rice straw and its availability. Now, we are sitting in Punjab in the district Hoshiarpur, which is the hub. Rice is a major...
Sorry.
For the state of Punjab. So in terms of availability, there is no issue on the availability of rice straw, which was generally burnt in the field, and that is where the stubble burning and pollution. So from
it's part of the stubble burning problem.
Yes, the stubble burning problem. So I think we are actually solving two problems from a sustainability perspective. One is obviously we are stopping air pollution, which is quite predominant because of this issue. And second is we are providing the farmer with a source of income. Otherwise, he's just burning that stubble and he's getting no economic value for that. But why that residue from his parcel of land, we are able to provide him with a source of income. So that is two. You mentioned whether this is all agro residue. Yes, most of the material that we use is agro residue. So one is definitely right now, rice straw is something that we intend to do in the future. in line with our vision to be more sustainable as a paper manufacturer. Currently, what we do is 50% of my raw material is wheat straw. Wheat straw is also a residue that is left in the fields after the harvesting of the wheat straw, right? So this is also something that is burnt. So the, one is rice straw, because there are two seasons. One is the wheat season and the rice season. So both these are burnt in the fields, and we are definitely contributing our bit to the environment by lifting this off the farmer's land. So 50% of my raw material currently is wheat straw, and that is also in line with our policy of being sustainable and adding value to the farmer. Does that answer your question?
Partly. This begs the question, would you be entitled to carbon credits therefore? Because I know of at least one other company that is, taking this problem on and is asking for carbon credits.
So we are in talks with various agencies which can help us on the carbon credit piece for this piece. So definitely that is on our mind.
Okay. So the clear answer would be that you would be entitled to carbon credits logically because you're making...
We work with the government and agencies to ensure that they are credited to us.
Okay. So that's one part. Two is it begs that if your raw material availability is therefore potentially unlimited, why aren't you converting the rest of your coal to wheat straw?
So what we do is not wheat straw. What is burnt is rice straw in the boiler, a rice husk in the boiler. Wheat straw is used for paper making. Let me clarify that.
Okay. So then why would you not convert your entire coal to
that is exactly what is the vision of the management for the coming financial years. So we are already using 50% rice husk and 50% of coal. Rice husk will remain, and we are trying to convert our balanced coal utilization to rice straw.
Okay, this is one part of the question. Can we shift to the sales side? On the sales side, where does this paper go? Is it going straight into writing paper or textbooks, etc.?
Yes, primarily about 80% of our 80 to 82% of our production goes to the writing and printing sector. And to answer your question, about 18% is on specialty, out of which currently about 3 to 5% is going towards replacement of single-use plastic, which is also, as you are aware, there is a plastic ban with effect from 1st of October last year. And we at Quantum have created several grades of paper which are allowing us to replace single-use plastic with paper options. And that is also our vision of being more sustainable.
Okay. Right. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, next question is from the line of Imran from Longbow India. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the follow-up. Sir, can you please help us understand, your freight cost for, let's say, bringing a ton of rice husk from, nearby to your location compared to coal?
No, coal is costly affair. Coal freight is almost 3,500 per ton from coal mines to our plant, whereas rice husk is hardly 700 rupees to 800 rupees per ton. So
okay.
The maximum prices are being paid to the farmers.
Right. And when you say 8,000 per ton for coal and very similar for rice husk, does this include the freight cost or freight cost is separate? Am I audible?
Yeah, landed cost. 8,000 rupees is the landed cost at plant.
For both, right? Okay, so that means it includes freight. Okay, all right. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Pavan Khaitan from Quantum Papers Limited for closing comments.
Thank you all for participating in this earnings con call. I hope we have been able to answer your questions satisfactorily. If you have any further questions or you would like to know more about the company, please reach out to our IR managers at Valorem Advisors. We are very thankful to all of our investors who have stood by us and have had the confidence in the company's growth and expansion plans. And with this, I wish everyone a great day ahead. Thank you.
Thank you very much. On behalf of Quantum Papers Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.